Brother John, he'll be doing the reading today, Matthew 15, 29 to 39.
And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, having with him those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, they glorified God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continued with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great? How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitudes of Magdala.
Father, thank you for your word. And we ask you, Lord, now that you would feed us too. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Did we hear the story already? Am I forgetting something? I mean, it seems like I heard this one already, didn't we? A remote place, a little bit of bread, a couple of fish, lots and lots of hungry people, and lots of leftovers. Actually, no, this is two entirely separate episodes, as you can tell from the setting and by certain details. As for the setting, Jesus was just, if you'll recall last time, he was just in the far northwest in the area of Tyre and Sidon, where he met the Canaanite woman. And we're now told there in verse 29 that he departed from there and he skirted the Sea of Galilee. So he came down, say, from maybe around 11 o'clock down to around like 3 or 4 o'clock around the sea. He passed by the area of Capernaum and Nazareth, where he had been ministering. And he moves on, it says in 33, it says they're in a wilderness area, a remote area. The region that he's in, if you look on the map, you will see this is the region that's called Decapolis. Deca means 10 cities. And it's kind of it's not Judea, it's not Galilee, it's kind of a semi-independent area that is not under the rule of Herod Antipas and not under the rule of his brother Philip. It's populated mostly by pagans, by Gentiles, worshippers of Greek gods. Whereas the first time around, when we had the 5,000, it was undoubtedly on Jewish soil for the benefit of a Jewish crowd. That time, Jesus had got on a boat and crossed the sea, and the people had run around the coastline, and they had met him, and they were there waiting for him when he landed, and he spent a day with them. And then when evening came, that's when the disciples said, it's time to send these people away. Okay, whereas here, we're told he has come into the region on foot, that the multitude that's there are the people who already lived there, and that they've now been with the Lord for 3 days. And of course, there's all the different numbers in the details, right? Different number of loaves, different number of fish. Here it says a few, before it was 2. And before it was 12 baskets of leftovers, and this time 7, New King James Version says large baskets. And it's a different word from before. This is the word that's used of the basket that they let Paul down over the wall in. So a big basket, whereas before it seems like a little picnic basket thing. Okay, anyway, since the actual miracle is the same, some of the lessons are going to be the same. So, don't let it surprise you that Jesus did the same miracle, you know, that he duplicated one of his miracles. He didn't only heal one blind man, did he? Well, why not? Well, because the lesson about spiritual sight and spiritual blindness is worth teaching more than once, right? It's appropriate to teach to multiple audiences. He didn't cast out only one demon, did he? He duplicated this miracle again and again in many places because his authority is being demonstrated to diverse groups of witnesses. He raised the dead at least 3 times. He even stilled the storm 2x. Okay, what's going on? He is providing abundant evidence in different locations to different people. God is at hand. Its power is at work. Its promised salvation is here. Okay, just like we just sang, tell it everywhere, right? This is not happening in a corner. It's happening, and everybody can see that it's happening. Okay, go tell John the Baptist what you see. Okay, John says, tell him what you see. You see the lame walk, and the mute speak, and the crippled made whole, and the blind see. Okay, don't the works speak for themselves? Everybody's talking about it. This isn't being kept secret. The lessons are being presented here, there, and everywhere. Okay, so we have this one now for the 2nd time. Scripture says, by 2 witnesses, let a matter be established, right? Learn the lessons. Jesus Christ, for one, is the Son of the Creator. He calls things into being out of nothing. He brings forth bread. So what's the lesson? Well, one lesson is that supplying your daily needs is not even a problem for him. We can immediately stop worrying, look to bigger things. We can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's one lesson. Christ is the good shepherd, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table for me right there in the wilderness, right? He's the good shepherd. He's the caretaker of the weary flock. Another lesson, he himself is the bread of life. He's come down from heaven to give life, to feed a hungry, a starving world. And whoever eats what I give him will never hunger. Okay, another lesson. His disciples, right? They're the ones who do the legwork of distributing his blessings. And today, now that Christ is in heaven, doesn't it fall to his disciples to do the work of feeding and teaching and caring and protecting, which the chief shepherd wants done? Okay, we're to extend his compassion and meet the needs of a weary and distressed and hungry and helpless multitude. Okay, probably there's other lessons beside that, all right? They're lessons worth learning, every single one of them. Why go over it again? Well, because we need to hear it again and again, don't we? We forget. The disciples ask, where are we going to get sufficient bread for all these people? You didn't forget, did you? Is it possible that the disciples forgot what happened with the 5,000? Or did they think maybe, they were our countrymen, they were Jews, but these are Gentiles, and maybe Jesus is not going to bless a large Gentile multitude in this way? Certainly they're not doubting the Lord's ability by this point. They've been with him too long. They've seen so much. If you look in 30 and 31, that's one of these summary statements that Matthew keeps giving us. This is about the 6th one of these in the book of Matthew. Summary statement, great multitudes came to him and laid down at Jesus' feet pretty much every invalid and sick person that they could find. And he healed them all. And the multitude marveled at what they saw. They saw the mute speaking. They saw the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind. Okay. We've had this summary statement again and again. The multitude may have been amazed, but the disciples, are they? Okay. By this point, you think they're well acquainted with the power of Jesus Christ. And still they ask this question. It's like they're not quite sure, what are we supposed to do in this situation? Is this situation something that we're supposed to do something about? And I have to say, now, looking back at all the times that Matthew has said the Lord had compassion, okay, the Lord healed them all, I was starting to get a little embarrassed this week thinking Matthew is not being very subtle about giving me hints, repeating and repeating about Christ's compassion for the multitudes, time after time after time. He healed them all. He met their needs. He was tender-hearted. He was meek, and he was merciful again and again. And it's like Matthew has to keep reminding me, like once a chapter, even to the point of recording almost exactly the same miracle again. It's like Matthew knows that we need to keep being reminded about Christ's deep love and his concern for the weary and the going astray and the sick and the afflicted. Is the message sinking in? All right, are we getting Matthew's message about our mission? For some reason, I'm reminded of, I'll remind you of it today. Tomorrow again, we need to be reminded again. What is it that Jesus wants me to do today? What does he want me to do in this situation? Well, how about in this case? What should I be doing? Okay, it's constantly love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Don't forget to do good and to share, because with such, don't forget. Okay, maybe the disciples ask this question because it seems to them like, well, this is a different situation. You know, it's not the same as before. Different case scenario. These are Gentiles. Are the lessons that we learned from the 5,000, are they still applicable in this case? Yes. Yes, they are. And in this case, maybe even more so. Because look what stands out about these people in this scene. They've been with Jesus now for 3 days. So they've stayed with him kind of beyond what's sensible. Their supplies ran out, but they're still there. 3 days means they spent the night there, and they spent another night there. Okay, so they, if they had a sick family member that they brought to Jesus, they didn't just bring him on home, right? They clung to Christ. They panted to hear his words. Remember, nobody speaks like he speaks. It's more important for them to abide with Christ than even to look after their necessary food. And he notices. Okay, he takes notice how long they've been with him. They've been with me 3 days now. He sees how long is a person in prayer. He sees how earnestly does each one of us seek him. He notices the attitude that we take towards personal communion with him, whether it's something that we treasure or whether it isn't. So what is it? Is it for you, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul thirsteth after thee? Or is it, oh, what a weariness this all is? He knows. Right? In one of the letters in Revelation, he says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience, your perseverance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So no wonder he says to the disciples, I wish to feed these people. They stayed with him for 3 days. Look what else. They glorified the God of Israel. That's the end of 31. And the wording there, I take it to be another hint that these are not Israelites themselves, right? These are people from outside Israel who praise the God of Israel. Otherwise, why wouldn't Matthew just say they praised God? Okay, they praise the God of Israel. This is a God they're not used to praising. And so again, we have another hint in Matthew, and there have been so many, about the event, people who are not God's chosen people. Okay, you know how Matthew is going to end. It ends with a command to go in the world and preach the good news to every ethnicity. Bring praise back home, if you please, back to the God of Israel. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds, right? Don't forget those good deeds, that they may praise your Father in heaven. This is what we want to take away from this passage, friends, that the gospel message always, always has new applications. It has new horizons, new outreaches. There's always new ears to hear the message. that haven't heard it before, okay? And until the day that Jesus Christ sets foot on the planet, our mission is not complete. It will never be complete until that day. I think that's why the author of Hebrews says that verse, do not forget. Okay? Do not forget to do good. Because it's easy to just kind of look around and, hey, we've got something. And to be, pardon me, to be complacent with what we have and just kind of assume this is good enough, that we're done. Okay, but don't forget. Don't let your love slide into a rut. Don't be satisfied with keeping the good news to yourself, to ourselves, and our little circle of friends. Don't forget that we've been sent out into a needy world to do good, to magnify Christ, and, do you know, just to simply meet human needs in his name, drawing men to the light, sharing the good news of pardon for sins, resurrection from the dead. Don't forget. Okay? The disciples, you know, they witnessed the multiplication of the loaves once before. A matter of weeks later, you know, here's another hungry bunch, and the disciples say, well, what should we do? What does Christ do? He happily, compassionately meets every single one of their needs too. Okay, he never said, I had enough of this, I've already done 5,000, now here's these guys. And he sends them away with full bellies. All right, and there's a third time coming up when they find themselves without bread, and Jesus says to them, don't you remember? You forgot. The 5,000 and the 5 loaves and the 4,000 and the 7 loaves. Having enough bread for yourselves is not the big worry. There's always going to be the bread. Stop worrying about the bread. There are other things to be concerned with. Don't forget. Okay, and forgetting the mission is just, it's too easy. Well, I'll say not the mission itself, forgetting the scope of the mission. Even Peter. All right, when you see Peter in Acts chapter 10, this is after he's preached to big crowds already, to thousands on Pentecost and following. There he is in Acts chapter 10. He needs that vision from heaven with the sheep, with the animals, to remind him, yes, the Gentiles too. Yes, them too. Did you forget? Yes, go with these men. Go up to the Roman man's house and tell him about Christ, right? Don't call unclean what I made clean. Yes, I know he's a Gentile. Go. And you see that Peter is kind of taken by surprise by the whole thing. He goes up there, is kind of scratching his head. The Holy Spirit falls on that household, and he, when he takes his report back, he says, well, who was I to contradict the Lord? You know, the Lord poured out his Spirit on them, so it seems to me that the Lord has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Okay? So even Peter, you know, he needs a reminder again. Three times the vision is shown to him that the Lord loves every single one of our neighbors, every single one of them. The Lord loves every last person in our town. He came to seek and to save what was lost. He hung on the cross and died so that any man, any woman, any little child can freely come and receive the gift of life. Anybody. Pardon for sins, a place at the table in the kingdom of God. Again, here in this miracle, we see it. There's so much left over. Okay, just like there was the first time. There is no shortage. It's baskets full are left over, enough for Jesus and his disciples to take away with them and feed themselves for a good while. There's that little chorus that we sometimes sing that says, in this room right here, in this very room, there's quite enough love for what? All the world. Okay, the first verse says, quite enough love for one like me. Okay, for one. Quite enough love, verse 2, for all of us. Okay, so what, 35, 40 people? Third verse, all the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in this very room. it's not as though, you know, if our congregation should grow and stretch and draw people in from the, it's not as though we're going to run out of the love of Christ. You understand? There's quite enough to go around and plenty to spare. So I guess what I'm getting at and what I've been thinking about for the last few weeks is it would be good if we as a church were more fishermanly, if that's a word. Maybe that's the wrong word. You know, fishermen don't love the fish. How about shepherdly? Going out to seek and to save the lost and the going astray, right? This is what the good shepherd came down to do. He makes contact with the harassed and the helpless and the sheep with no shepherd. And frankly, sheep with no shepherd fill our city. It's something to pray about, okay? It's a matter for prayer, and here's what I think the big thing to pray for is, and so I'll ask you to put this on your prayer list. Mostly we need to pray for our love to abound, all right? That the Lord would open our eyes to survey the neighborhood and the city with the same spirit of compassion that he always, okay, time and time again, he always looked at the multitudes with compassionate eyes. Okay, he is so wonderful. Every time there is a poor soul in need, what does he say? Okay, bring him here. It's just said they cast them at his feet. Just bring him here and set him at my feet, and I will make him whole again. A city full of needs, where needs abound, opportunities for ministry abound. And of course, who can deny that the residents of Bridgeton are in need? So, of course, our heart's only going to be in it if we have, you know, if we look at them not first and foremost as troublemakers and strangers, but with tenderness and affection, right? With the heart of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God says that he has arranged the members of the body just where he wants them. Right, you know where that is in the scripture. He's arranged the members of the body just where he wants them. So I think we have to assume that God wants us to minister in this city. Don't forget. Okay, do not forget to do good. Don't forget the scope of the mission, Christ's mission that his whole church is embarked on, is to every last nook and cranny of the world to testify to the message of eternal life. Then the end will come. Okay, so pray this. Pray for a heart filled with tenderness, compassion, love for our neighbors. And then he also told us to pray a couple chapters ago, pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field, right? Because the harvest is sure ready. And then besides being a matter of prayer, it's a matter of teamwork. Okay, our little bunch has its set of life experiences and skills and strengths that God can use to effectively reach certain categories of people, whoever they may be. That depends on your heart and my heart and your experience and my experience. You may have a particular skill just from your life experience, a skill with dealing with certain categories of people, say someone who's bereaved. What about veterans? What about single moms? What about addicts? Name it. There's what about teens, okay? Your own life experience has fit you out to be able to share and to lead people like you, okay? People that you can share Christ with. And so, like I said, it just depends. We have to do some soul searching, okay? What's a good place for us to direct our efforts and pray? How can I serve you, Lord? Who can I reach? What can we put together by way of reaching the hurting and the needy? Okay, and nobody says, you know, we can't partner with another church who's looking to do the same sort of thing. Of course, we can do it together. I'm just saying there's lots of possibilities. Love the Lord with all your heart. That's first and foremost, right? There is so much about him to love. Praise the God of Israel for what he has done for you. Who, look, we're all outsiders ourselves, right? We worship the God of Israel. He has brought us near by the blood of Christ. We can help another poor soul come in and find the same life and health and peace that we found. Okay, don't forget. That's the verse. Don't forget to do good. And right now, don't think about logistics. Okay, don't think about the time commitment and the cost and the training and all of this stuff, you know, that would have to be put in place and say, well, you know, I sure would like to serve, but I just don't know where we're going to get all of the loaves and fishes. You don't know where it's all going to come from? I know where it's going to come from. Don't think about that kind of stuff just now. Just focus on Christ, glorious Jesus Christ. He is compassionate, tender-hearted, wonderful, almighty Jesus Christ. Think about how much he loves, how much he loves you, how much he loves them. Everyone who came, he touched, he blessed, he taught, he sent them away with a full belly. Okay, it's an amazing thing that the infinite God is concerned with one day's nourishment. Such a mundane thing, okay? But he does it again, and he does it again. Have we heard this story before? Yes, yes, we've heard this story before, but that was different people. God loves these people too. Okay, Jesus' lessons aren't just to be learned once and then you're done. Okay, there's always new people who need to hear what to us is an old story, right? We have loved so long. That's the heart of a good shepherd. Okay, that's why don't forget to do good and to share, right? To keep on doing good, keep on sharing. There will be enough. I promise there will be enough. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We have to pray. We have to ask for a heart. We have to ask for workers. We have to ask for opportunities. Open your eyes and see the harvest fields are ready. Heavenly Father, we pray for our poor little town, Lord. You know that there are many here who live outside of the knowledge of God, whose hearts are full of pain, whose lives are aimless, who suffer in many ways with both physical and spiritual afflictions. And we ask you, Lord, to collectively open up all our eyes so that we can see the needs, Lord, and that we can show the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a world that is captive to the devil, and we know that you have come to destroy the work of the devil. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make our testimony effective. The very thing that we did yesterday, Lord, we celebrate having reached out to the children and their families, and we just pray, Father, that you would multiply our efforts and our works, Lord. We want to do them for your sake, and because time is short and people need to be saved. And so help us, Lord, to carry the good message outside of these walls and into our little town. We pray for it in Christ's name. Amen.